several books. Thank you so much for joining us today. This was really a very interesting discussion. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Esty, for having me. I was delighted to be here and hope to join you again sometime.
Yes, yes, we will do that. And thanks to Sarah, too, and to Lainey. I'm Esty Dinor. We'll be talking again next week. Bye-bye. 6'6" above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take you to another mental level. Low power frequency radio modulation. The big sound from underground, another pirate station.
You are listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison.
I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. The sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. So nice, so nice. I got you. When I hold you in my...
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Howdy.
Hey, how you doing?
Happy Juneteenth.
Yeah, happy Juneteenth.
Yeah.
I was just thinking this morning that it's kind of that holiday is getting a little more momentum. I mean, it seems like you're hearing more,
sure,
more about it, and more like mainstream,
yeah,
places. And you know, I guess a bank holiday now. And
sure.
I know it's a federal holiday, but City of Madison is closed, as you might expect.
Yeah.
The state is not, as you might expect. But
there's one person right now, a popular, I guess you could say, or well-known public figure who was against the idea of Juneteenth being a holiday, and that's the Republican candidate for governor. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah, Tom Tiffany. He gave a speech just recently talking about he was against it when they voted for it in Congress. He's one of 14 members of Congress to vote against Juneteenth as a federal holiday. Back in 2021.
Talk about being on the extreme.
So he's been asked questions about this, needless to say, since he's running for governor of the state. His answer was, he said, "My vote reflected my belief that America has one Independence Day, and that is July 4th. Well, okay.
Okay.
I don't think Juneteenth is Independence Day, but...
Yeah, that means you can't celebrate anything else.
Yeah. I think the thing that's really weird, it's a celebration of Black history, but it's not just a celebration of Black history.
Yeah.
It's a celebration of a moment in American history,
right,
which we should be super proud of.
It should be a triumph for,
yeah,
for all Americans.
Yeah, you would think.
We got rid of slavery.
Just think how happy those people, these were the last people that heard of it. 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, it celebrates their having heard, okay, I'm a free person. Now, can you imagine the absolute joy? I mean, who wants to step on that?
Well, and it was, you know, it's often been called America's original sin. I mean, you should definitely celebrate that if you're moving past that. I know there's, you know, we didn't. It's not perfect since then, but it was a huge step. I mean,
occasional sins we allow. Original sins, you got to do something about those. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, people just want to rewrite history, you know. It's just kind of like, it's like, no, that was a...
Why should we let the black people celebrate?
Yeah,
like, we should all celebrate.
White people, feel proud of the fact that you stopped being such jerks.
Right.
You know, that could be good, too. I'm glad that's over.
What they don't mention in school when they talk about that is like the rest of, you know, the quote, civilized world or Western world, however you want to phrase it. They'd outlawed slavery a long time ago. That was...
The Tsar of Russia beat us on that one. I mean, come on.
Catherine the Great wanted to get rid of the serfs.
Yeah, I know.
She was around during like Thomas Jefferson's
time. And we're
time.
Like, ka-ching, we can't do that.
Yeah, Mexico outlawed it. That's why we ended up with Texas.
That's exactly. Texas is like, we're out of here. But you can't say stuff like that now, right? I mean, you must not love America. Hey, I have a proposal to you, and I wonder what you think about this.
Okay.
I would love to, next week for, coming up, not next week, but coming up for the July 4th. I think we should read the list of indictments from the Declaration of Independence of George III and see how many of those President Trump has done. I think that would be a wonderful way of making history come alive, as they say. Especially with the quartering of the troops. I mean, that's actually not too far off from what was going on in Minneapolis. I mean, they were basically like shoving these people in there and, you know, using military force to accomplish. Of course,
you're in favor of quartering the troops. So.
Well, I personally am, but I don't think everyone should be forced to.
Okay.
Sailors, too. So I just
mostly sailors.
But anyway, so I guess is Wisconsin part of the big jamboree in Washington? A bunch of states have decided not to be part of that.
Are we fighting Minnesota or something?
We got to spend money to have some some booth on the pavilion or something, some kind of thing that.
Where's the money go? See, they should set up like a fight tournament where every state sends their champion, and then they could whittle their way like the NCAA tournament there. And then we'd see who is the toughest state. Or the sexiest state.
I think you mean the hottest.
The hottest state.
That's the au courant word for all this.
Oh my goodness.
So what are
you talking about the slavery. Yeah. I was talking about this with some friends just yesterday, and it's an odd revelation. I mean, I'm fairly old. I mean, I'm retired and stuff. But when I was born and when you were born, there were probably people walking around who had been slaves.
Possibly.
Yeah. I mean, they would have been in their 90s. They would have been like a child.
Yeah.
But I mean, that just shows how close it was in history. I mean, you think of Abraham Lincoln, it seems like the olden days, but it's only a few generations separated. And, it's like these stories we see about how, like, John Tyler's
grand, about to mention him.
His grandson died.
Just died, yeah. Yeah. No.
It's like, what?
Yep. The past is not over. It's not even past.
Yeah,
that's right.
No,
it's like Faulkner said.
It's like yesterday.
Yeah.
So the other big story this week is the reflecting pool.
Turning
green.
Yeah.
And that was a big problem, but the president solved it.
Yeah.
He signed an executive order this morning declaring June as St. Patrick's Month.
Well, I mean, the thing behind this, of course, is the no-bid contract. it was somebody that they knew. The one thing that was amusing to me was apparently this company's name is something like Greenwater. You kind of know what you're getting into there, I would think. But
if you want Greenwater, come to us.
Come to Greenwater, yeah. Well, and I guess the color that he wanted made it actually the water warmer.
Yeah.
It absorbed more heat
from
the sun.
Sure. Yeah.
And so, the thing about it is, it's like, okay, it's a mess. It's hard to keep something like that clean.
No, I get it. But they're the ones who made it a big issue.
Yeah, like, they made it an issue.
Obama couldn't fix this.
Right. And it was picayune. Who cares? When has it ever become to the national consciousness what the reflecting pool looks like? I mean, why is that even something to talk about?
Right.
That's like the Park Service.
That's a maintenance
figures it
issue
out. Yeah, the Park Service figures it out. But, the great real estate developer, or however he sees himself, has to talk about this. So now we're all talking about the pool. And, of course, the problem is he makes it symbolic. And so it becomes symbolic for everybody else. Yeah. And when he screws it up, which he inevitably does with everything he does, it's just another knock on the guy. It's like intrinsically, it's not that important.
No, obviously.
He put so much meaning on it that,
The thing I like that take away from this that was really, enlightening, but so the right-wing people are saying now, the right-wing blogosphere or whatever.
Oh, yeah. The alternate reality.
That lefties are sneaking in there at night with paint scrapers.
Oh, is that what it is?
And scraping them because the paint is chipping off, too.
Yeah.
And so the lefties are sneaking in there with their paint scrapers and their George Soros issued paint scrapers and scraping the paint
off. Of course,
off.
I knew there was a Jew behind it. I just knew. They'd get there eventually. Oy. Oh my god.
And I'm sure just within a day or two they'll release the security footage, you know, confirming that people were going there at night and scraping the paint off. So
they need
to
have competitive bidding. I mean, this is just so typical of when you have an imperial court like the president is trying to establish. You don't have a vetting process for these things. How do we know this guy, this company knows what they're doing when it comes to reflecting pools? He seemed to think it was like a swimming pool or something, which I don't know. I mean, I guess. Oh, you're showing me a picture. Is that the guy that runs the company?
Yeah, that's him.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, he is. He's got like a big mustache. It looks like a John Candy.
He looks like
Candy character.
He looks like Blagojevich, you know, the former governor, the corrupt governor of Illinois. He's got a little bit. I just share with the listeners.
He says dems and does a lot.
Dems and does. Yeah, well, that's fine. But I do love his attire. He's wearing a gray jacket, double-breasted. Like, who wears double-breasted jackets? He's wearing a double-breasted jacket, and the collar, the back of his lapel, is covered with some kind of, looks like black fur or something. I don't know what that is.
That's just mold growing there.
A little hydrogen peroxide would take care of that in a second. It does look like there's something growing there. You're right. And on his upper lip, so maybe he doesn't. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's just corruption. That's all it is. Yeah. It's just, you know.
Well, when you hear no bid contract.
Yeah.
It's like, this was not an emergency. It was not on fire.
It's not like they're making death ray sterilizers. There's other, you know, I mean, I realize there's only two companies that make that, but, you know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, going back, I mean, to the first Trump administration when Puerto Rico was hit by the hurricane.
Yeah.
And, you know, Trump, of course, gave them paper towels, which they weren't grateful for. They wanted more. Yeah. They wanted, like, electricity and stuff. Yeah, yeah. So they hired this company to restore.
They were very absorbent paper towels. Just give them
credit. You know, they were like the cheapest, great value brand. Yeah. They probably took them back after the cameras went away, walked away. But they gave the contract to restore the electrical grid to like this company that had no experience in it. They were like two guys in one of the Dakotas or something. Yeah. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
We don't even know which Dakota.
Well, it doesn't matter.
I don't distinguish
between the Dakotas anymore. Oh, okay. I just call them.
Well, you know, it's a cheap trick.
Dakotas.
You know that that there are two Dakotas was a cheap trick.
Yeah, for senators.
So they could have more senators of that part, the party that they wanted to have. Yeah. So it was like, good job, guys.
The owner of the company responsible for part of Trump's reflecting pool. Well, we'll stop talking about the stupid pool in a minute here.
That's fine.
But this is good. The owner of the company responsible for part of the pool renovation previously had pleaded guilty to bribing a congressman.
Oh.
So
the thing that's great about Trump is he's self-bribing. You know, people don't have to approach him. He's like, hey, come over here. You want to give me some money?
It's like the checkout at the grocery store. Yeah. Like, you don't have to wait in line here.
I'll go at the White House.
I'll just take your money. And
they have a turnstile now, by the way, where you have to put in like $1,000 or whatever to get in.
Yeah. So the peace deal is off, apparently. They've Oh, you haven't seen you
so soon?
Yeah. Well, Israel started attacking.
Yeah. Well, Israel's very unhappy.
Yeah. Honestly. So, but I mean, this peace deal was. I mean, first of all, it's not a peace deal. It's a
promise to have a deal.
It's a promise to have a promise to get. It's a promise ring kind of. Yeah.
No, it's
and those never work out.
No.
And but they did this without even having Israel as part of the negotiations. Uh-oh, we're getting calls here. So, thanks, Lainey.
Oh, this is so cute. Now tourists can visit D.C. for the blooming of the cherry blossoms and the algal blooms.
I'm just picturing that scene from Forrest Gump when Jenny's wading through the pool and she's like comes out covered in algae,
like Swamp Thing or something.
He's got like crabs on her. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so surprisingly, so he said he was going, when he was at the G7 meeting, he said that if they reneged, he was going to bomb the crap out of them.
He
drop bombs on their heads, I think his literal words. Like, what?
He said he made some reference to nuclear war, too. I mean, nuclear bombs. I mean, he didn't say those words, but he is the implication that, you know, we have the worst, we have the most terrible weapons ever known to humanity, and we will use them, or something like that. Yeah. But, so Israel wasn't part of this, and they just said, well, screw you. And then, stop attacking people? Why would we do that?
For Netanyahu, that's kind of like his reason for being.
Then I might have to go to jail.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Well, and
we had these two guys that are only in office to keep them, both of them, out of prison. I mean,
Netanyahu really is Israel's Trump. But you know, you could see this was going to happen because Netanyahu tried to play it down because, of course, he doesn't want to upset Trump anymore. But all of his acolytes and all of his minions. Netanyahu's went completely nuts over this, and there's a bunch of right wing outlets, of course, in Israel, just like there is in the United States. But Channel 14 in Israel is especially known to be this, you know, major supporter of Bibiism, and they went berserk when they saw the results of this, and so the popular media there is really going after Trump, and. There's this guy, Yinon Mengal, who's the host of something called The Patriots, which is one of the... He's like kind of like, I don't know, Tucker Carlson kind of character in Israel. And he said that Trump came out a loser. And I think we all kind of know that already. But apparently on national television, he took off his Trump, Donald Trump hat, his MAGA hat. This guy also, again, has a big following in Israel among the right wing. He described Vice President J.D. Vance, and this is in Hebrew, so we're translating in English, as scum and a lowlife.
Oh, my goodness.
Which, I thought that's about right. I said, I have something in common with this guy.
See, we can all reach across the aisle and agree on some things. A 4-ton elephant, specify it's an African elephant. An African elephant.
Yeah, those are bigger.
Yeah, brought a surprise to attendees at the recent Texas Republican Party's annual convention.
Okay.
It peed all over the floor inside the convention center.
Oh, my God, really? You know, when an elephant takes a whiz, you really know it. So how big are their bladders? I mean, they must be gigantic.
So when I was a kid, I was growing up, and there was like a big field behind us. The city eventually turned it into a park, but it was just a big empty field. Yeah. And this shows how old I am. There was a traveling circus that came to town, to Owatonna, a little town of 12,000 people. Or something. And they set up...
Otherwise known as Rubeville, right?
Yeah.
Rubes will love us at Rubeville.
So they set up in my backyard. They set up...
Heavens above.
It was like every...
How old were you?
I know, it was like probably in fourth or fifth grade
God.
It was like a little kid's story.
I know. I was just like...
when the circus came to my backyard.
Wow, that's amazing.
And so they set up back there and they stayed there. I mean, it seemed like a long time to me. It was probably, you know, 4 days or something.
It was one of those scary Ray Bradbury-style circuses.
No, it was a fun circus. And my brother and I got to be friends with the carnies, and we would like give them matches for their cigarettes. Yeah. I would steal matches from my mom and dad.
And they gave you pornographic postcards. Here, kid, look at this.
No, they give us free tickets to the show.
Oh, excellent. Very good.
And I think they used our electrical outlet at one point for something, but ran up $1,000.
Dream come true.
But they had elephants.
Oh yeah,
and it was so cool. So we're like back there with the elephants, and then when they left, you know, my buddies and all, we always played in the field there. That we would throw the elephant poop at each other.
Of which I'm sure there was a generous supply.
But the downside is during while the carnival was there, someone stole my dad's boat motor, his Evinrude, and we were convinced the carnies did
of
it.
Of course.
The cops, we called the cops.
They honked it
and
somewhere.
My brother and I are jumping around going, the carnies did it! You know, the carnies did it! And the cops are like, we're not gonna investigate this. We'll write it up for the insurance company.
So give me more, I'm behind on this, give me more info on what's going on. So is Israel then going after Lebanon? I mean, they were still engaged in military operations in Lebanon.
Yeah, they had an attack overnight. Renewed strikes, it says.
Yeah.
So,
oh, wow.
Vance delays his trip to Switzerland. Israel and Hezbollah Oh, they've agreed to halt fighting now. I just refreshed this, so, you know, nothing is stable here. Yeah, exactly. So,
well, of course, in Iran right now, you know, state television there is, I think, probably actually truthfully saying we won. You know, I mean, that's, they got everything they needed out of this. They managed to stand up to the big bully, and I mean, it's not good for the people in Iran, but it's not surprising that they think that they've managed to pull it off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the, you know, of whatever, what had leaked out, you know, all the analysis came to that same conclusion. It's like, you know, okay, so you go away, you give us $300 billion, and we're right back where we were.
And meanwhile, Israel is spying on us, you know. So it was like that came out last week. You know? Like, what in the world is going on?
Well, that's not new, is it?
No, it's not, actually. It's not new.
Italy's Meloni says Trump made up story that she begged him for a photo. Well, that sounds familiar. People are always begging him for things. They're down on their knees.
I am begging him to go away. Here. Eat this special apple.
He wouldn't eat a fruit.
No, that's a good point. Hey, the Republican leaders in the Georgia state legislature this week, this was a big surprise. They decided they will not redistrict during their special session.
Really?
Even though they've been expressly asked to get rid of the U.S. House districts and majority black districts. So the governor of Georgia, a man by the name of Brian Kemp, some of you probably know that already, called the session to draw new legislative maps before the 2028 election. So governors in Georgia, just like in many states, can call special sessions when there's urgent business that needs to be attended to. And Georgia is the latest southern state to think about redistricting once the Supreme Court said that, you know, we don't care about black rights anymore. But people assembled there, civil rights activists and protesters, they assembled in Atlanta. And, you know, that's Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta is like the heart of the civil rights movement. It's pretty striking to think that they would be doing something there like that. And there were marches and demonstrators basically all week as the lawmakers came together. And so less than an hour after the session opened, they said, nope, we're not going to do it. And so they won't be taking up any redistricting, at least for the moment. And so so that's that.
Hey, just a quick reminder that June is the month when you vote for Best of Madison Magazine.
Sure.
And for some reason, this little show is listed as one of the finalists for the Best of Madison radio team or radio whatever personality.
Whatever. That pretty much puts us in the right category.
All right, I can look it up here.
Radio miscellany.
Radio host / team.
Oh, and are we a / team?
I guess so. But yeah. And also from WRT. I'll probably butcher the name here. Oh, Heal is a jazz programmer on WRT.
Oh,
and they're also one of the finalists in the same category.
Oh, my heavens!
And
did you say that the WRT news
and the news
team was also
news team is one of the best websites for local news. I remember the exact designation.
So vote for the WRT in whatever category.
Got three different choices there. You can.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So you can vote through the end of the month. I think just one per. I think it's per email address. I'm not sure exactly how they do that. But
also want to encourage people. You know, we have a pledge drives periodically. We had a very short one this spring. But anytime you want to donate to the station, don't feel hesitant to do it. You can just go to the website and there's a big donate button there, and you can just. Give some money to the studio, or pardon me, to the station. You know, we relied on some federal funding. Most of it's community support, but we don't have that anymore. And anybody that wants to step up, now's the time to do it.
Yeah. So, and one more quick reminder: if you want to drop us an email, our email address is melonfloydmailbag@gmail.com. And let's see. Mindless Minion 261 just sent us a quick note saying, now the reflecting pool is a true reflection of Donald J. Trump.
The swamp creature.
Yeah. And Bill sent us a nice article about how Richard Nixon is gaining popularity.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, of course.
The headline says from the Hollywood Reporter. It says why Richard Nixon has suddenly gone viral.
Yeah,
his foundation has started posting a slew of slickly edited videos aiming to make the late president seem cool. It appears to be working.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's how you know history's being rewritten, when Nixon is cool.
So,
the president and the king.
Well, that's our bumber sticker we gave away. Miss Nixon.
I miss Nixon. So yeah,
we were ahead of the curve.
Well,
on
I said last week, I think, or maybe it was the week before, I was saying you just know Nixon's down in hell saying, you know, no finesse. You know? I mean, the Trump administration really is just stupid Nixon. You know.
Oh wait, yeah.
It's like.
What can I steal now?
What can I steal? Yeah. I mean, Nixon just didn't pay his income taxes, and Trump was to put his fingers on everything. I was telling this story. I was thinking about this. You know, when I was a little kid, my younger sister once took her purple crayon and wrote her name on my tricycle. And every time I was thinking about that this week, when I saw them taking the name off of the Kennedy Center, I thought he's just like my 4-year old sister. He wants to write his name on. I mean, it's great that she could write her name, but she just, you know,
became a doctor, right?
Yeah, yeah, right. No, that's a different sister.
Okay.
Anyway, famed plastic surgeon. No, this is a North.
Is that what she was? Plastic surgeon?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, this is my other sister, but she did write that. And when I saw him put his name on that building, I thought, it's just like
perfect.
My sister.
So, yeah. Well, they had, there's
4-year old.
What's her name? Maggie Haberman. She's got a book out, and supposedly it has a lot of inside info. Yeah. And there's one story about how the Carolyn Leavitt walked into the Oval Office one day, and she found Trump with some super glue and a bunch of like tacky little gold decorations, and he was like gluing them to the fireplace.
The joke I saw on Kimmel was the president of France was showing him around Versailles, and he said, and Kimmel said, Trump is the only person that goes to Versailles and thinks needs more gold.
Oh, that's good. You know, I know. Pictures can lie and stuff, but every photo I saw, he was like standing by himself. Everybody else was kind of chatting, and he started looking. It was like a silver alert or something.
Yeah,
he was just sort of wandering around.
The thing that hits me about it, though, and you can see why. I mean, you and I and others, you know, we honestly acknowledge that was what happened with Biden was a terrible mistake, and how stupid could people be? But you know, it just shows you the level of fanaticism and the level of hatred that they have for the very concept that the other side might win an election, that they're all pretending like he's not cognitively impaired now, that he's not just doing exactly the same stuff that Biden was doing. I think because Trump has got more energy, his bile level is higher, and it keeps him more animated.
Yeah. Well,
they can kind of pretend like he's not really that bad off. But I think the thing, too, is if I were the president of some small country or even medium-sized country, and I had to have words with Donald Trump, I'd be looking for the bathroom. I mean, it's like, sorry, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'd hate to interrupt you mid-rant, but you know, really have a small bladder.
I know the 2020 election was rigged. He did that at the G7. He was given a little presser or something, and he started rambling about the 2020 election. And I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I mentioned Kimmel. I got another little talk show host story here. I guess I should say former talk show host. I don't know if you watched any of the concluding episodes of Late Night with Stephen Colbert, but one of the things that he did was he asked the house band if they could play the music from Peanuts.
Sure.
So, which is, by as you might imagine, copyrighted. And Louis Cato and his band called the Great Big Joy Machine played the Linus and Lucy theme, and Colbert actually said on the air, anyone illegally using that music is going to have to pay through the nose. It was very clever little surprise, and he also said, oh no, I hope this doesn't cost CBS any money. Well, on Tuesday, Lee Mendelson Film Productions, which owns the rights to the Peanuts music, which was composed by Vince Guaraldi, said that CBS had agreed to pay an undisclosed amount for the song during the final show, Colbert final show, which was on May 21st.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the fun part, and this is one of Colbert's favorite charities. The proceeds will be donated by Lee Mendelsohn Film Productions directly to World Central Kitchen, which is a relief group founded by the celebrity chef Jose Andres, which Colbert has been giving money to for years and promoting, of course, in his show, so on his former show.
Hey, you're listening to The Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 FM. You might be listening on the internet at WRTFM.org, or you could be listening in the future because we put this show and all of our shows up on the archives page. And thanks to our pal Mindless Media D-Cubed, you can listen to this via podcast through Spotify or Apple Pods or wherever.
Wherever.
Wherever. So, all right, we have to take a break, play some announcements, and then come back with, you got anything good?
Just some local events, things that are going on right now around the city.
Okay. I've got a story I brought in just for you about the benefits of reading actual real paper books.
Oh, here.
And let's see. A pink planet that has, we've discovered, that has clouds made out of salt.
Wow.
So, all kinds of good stuff. Yeah, right.
No, I love the idea of a pink planet.
Well, it is, it's, you know, Pride Month.
Josie
here, so.
In outer space. Yeah.
All aboard for Night Train.
Support for this program is provided by WORT's listener sponsors, the National Electrical Contractors Association, Madison Division, and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 159, proudly serving electrical contractors and electricians in the greater Madison area since 1900. More info at IBEW159.org.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street. Specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
And we're back. So a bee truck, a truck carrying a bunch of beehives, tipped over in, where was this?
My mother always had a beehive.
Yeah, she did. Did you ever tip over?
She could have. It kind of overbalanced her every now and then.
This is the Yellowstone stretch of US 191, so I'm guessing it's near Yellowstone somewhere. But it tipped over, and it had an estimated 250 million bees, and they got loose.
That's a lot of bees.
That is a lot of bees. So, but and then the road apparently got covered with honey, so it was like the honey highway for a little while. Sounds dirty, but it's not.
Yeah, it does sound dirty. Wash your mouth out with soap, young man.
Oh. Haven't had monkey news for a while. Here's some from about orangutans.
Alrighty.
There we go. Orangutans eat medicinal plants in patterns that suggest self-medication. So even orangutans self-medicate.
Oh, yeah.
So, well. But they seek out plants with antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory ingredients and wound healing properties. According to new research, they've been watching these orangutans for 20 years in Borneo.
Yep.
And they assessed how often the animals ate plants with known medicinal benefits.
Wow.
And this new study and scientific report suggests that orangutans eat combination of plants in specific sequences consistent with self-medication seen in other species, such as, like, your brother-in-law.
Not sure what species that is, actually. I guess we'll check other. Hey, I want to do a shout out to the hundreds of nurses at the SSM Health St. Mary's Hospital. They voted on June 11th to unionize, which is forcing their employer to bargain with them over issues like pay equity and staffing levels. And this is going to help you, the consumer. It's going to help you if you care about labor rights and your fellow person. The Service Employees International Union's Wisconsin chapter is going to represent the nurses. They said that the vote was the largest private sector union election, in 26 years.
Wow.
89% of the election participants, that's more than 500 nurses, voted in favor. And so they filed for an election on May 1st. And since then, they've been nurses and doctors have said that they've been trying to do union busting techniques. Of course,
sure.
You know, SSM Health now belongs to the very big corporation or whatever, so no big surprise. But under the law, even during the Trump administration, this has an effect, and they will have to actually bargain with the union on behalf of the nurses.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. So yeah. Well, I'm sure most people probably know I had an accident about a year ago, and
yeah.
I was in the hospital for 6 days, had a couple of surgeries,
and
the nurses were wonderful.
Yeah.
They were just so cool and so caring and so hardworking, and
sure.
And I just can't say enough about how great they were.
I recently had the same experience. I wasn't a patient, but a companion injured his foot, and he was having some minor surgery. And the nurse, I was so impressed by her that I, you know, asked, you know, where she got her degree and some questions about her and stuff. And, you know, it's just, she was, I said, can I ask a personal question?
Yeah.
She's like, sure. You know, she was really, I said, where did you get your degree from? And she got her degree from UW-Madison.
Yeah.
So that was also nice, staying in community and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I had the same exact feeling about that. So, yeah, these are people that really, you know, they do a lot for you. And the idea that they should be treated fairly and not just part of the giant corporate mass, I think, is something we all can get behind.
Shortly after SSM bought out Dean and it became SSM Dean or whatever, whatever they're, you know, they always morph.
SSM Health now, Dean's gone away,
But anyway, shortly after that, I was, you know, had just a routine appointment. I was chatting with the nurse, and I knew her a little bit, and we talked pretty openly. And so I said, oh, so how is it working with the, you know, the SSM now that they own you? And she goes, I probably shouldn't say anything.
Well, but see, SSM was bought now by a bigger company.
Right, right.
Yeah. Which, and I know, because that's the insurance I have, and I had to redo everything because they now want you to plug into their, you know, super system.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm like, the way they used to communicate with me and stuff is different
it's
now.
It's like those cartoons with the fish eating progressively bigger fish.
But on the other side of that big fish is all the little investor fish, just so you know.
With their mouths open.
Worms,
I want worms.
Exactly. Hey, got some events happening here in Madison land. I've got some Juneteenth things I just wanted to mention. There's a... see what's going on. Fitchburg, the mythical city of Fitchburg. That's where you live, isn't it? No, it's not. No, the Fitchburg Senior Center is going to host a Juneteenth program today, and it started at 1, but you might be able to catch it if you're listening. It's at the community center on 5510 Lacey Road. Let's see, Sun Prairie is going to have a Juneteenth celebration that's taking place from 4 to 7 tonight at the Wetmore Park on 555 North Street, and they're going to have family activities, hair braiding, and a DJ with a free barbecue until the food runs out. So the Kuchich Agulia Madison Center for Self-Determination is going to have a parade from 11 to an event from 11 to 5, so that's already started, but you can go to the Labor Temple parking lot. They're doing some stuff there. There's a celebration at the McFarland High School, which starts It started at noon, but you can still catch it. It's on till 3. And then tonight at the Majestic Theater, of course, on 115 King Street, they're going to have a free Juneteenth celebration starting at 9. And it's a free all-ages show, which includes musical artists Flame the Ruler, No Love Monday, DJ Iron Mike, and PJ Payne One. So get on down there. Also want to mention, of course, this is Pride Month. And tonight, Friday night, there's going to be a Friday night market, the Big Gay Pride Market. And it's at the Alliant Energy Center, 1919 Alliant Energy Center Way. And it's the Big Gay Pride Market featuring dozens of queer artists and vendors. And the market runs the entire weekend, but Friday will feature exclusive Friday-only vendors. There's going to be a drag pageant and a furry fashion show. And I'm not sure the furry fashion, I guess that does not, that's people dressed up as furries, okay? So I think that's what that is. And then, let's see, there's also going to be a Pride Drag Brunch on June 21st. And that is going to be, where is that? It's hosted, it's at the Burr Oak, at the Burr Oak, 2262 Winnebago Street, and the doors open at noon. So that's going to be on the 21st. So lots of things are happening here in Madison. And of course, we got the food festivals this summer. We got the Jazz Fest coming up. You can look for all of these things. It's the typical summer in Madison land, which is, you know, it's like the entertainment center, which is also happens to be a town.
What character are you playing?
Yeah, well, living on the isthmus, that's the way it feels sometimes. I love how
I'm a disgruntled leftist.
I'm a disgruntled leftist. Yeah, no, I'm basically living on the isthmus. I have to say that every now and then I love it. I love living in a vibrant, growing place. There's nothing, I can't say anything bad about that. But every now and then I do feel it was a little less vibrant and a little less fun-loving because I really do feel like every now and then that I'm living in an amusement park.
That reminds me, there's this big news that Summerfest has been canceled.
Really?
The Oregon Summerfest.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oregon had this little festival. It was, you know, they just have carnival rides and stuff. But they called it Summerfest, which always cracked me up. But they're not going to have it this year. So we'll miss Summerfest in Oregon.
Are we going to do any of the... You're ambulatory this summer, so are we going
to... For a change.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to do some
appearances.
I've been talking to Adrian about that. So
very good. Oh, thank you.
We're in the loop here, right?
Okay.
I talked to her last week and told her we'd...
Oh, excellent.
Anywhere, anytime.
I love doing that. I love meeting the Minions.
We haven't really done it for almost 2 years.
No, I know. We've been kind of remiss. But, you know, the great thing about...
I was busy.
You were busy being injured. The great thing about I find is that it always gives other people the opportunity to be funny.
we just sit
back and have a good time. You know?
People are so much fun, and they're so nice, and they're so funny, and they bring us like goofy little presents.
Yeah, they bring us things.
Like, okay, I'll put that in the Fortress of Solitude next to the giant key and the, the giant yo-yo or something. Yeah. Well, you like Iceland, so I brought this story.
I do. I love Iceland. Yep.
There are about 80 living Icelanders who carry a Native American DNA marker.
Oh, cool.
Traced back to around 1000 AD.
Oh, that is so great.
And, of course, that suggests that Native American women sailed to Europe with Vikings about 500 years before Columbus.
Yeah, well, that's probably not so cool. But
that's the thing. When you read these stories about their trace of the DNA, it's always like the DNA through the mothers.
Well, there's a lot of Irish DNA, a lot of Celtic DNA in Iceland, and that's bride capture. That's what that is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because sure. they'd go to, you know, the Celtic areas of Upper Scotland and Upper Ireland and grab people.
Yeah, they had to do that before Jeffrey Epstein, of course. But
yikes. Hey, is it okay to sleep with your pet? What do you think about that?
I love sleeping with Clopsy. He's very comforting. They're probably going to tell me that that's bad, but.
Well, it depends on who has more ticks and fleas. I don't know if you were.
That's kind of key.
Is it one-to-one ratio?
Hit and miss. Okay.
Yeah, pets can give you a variety of bugs and germs, and they can also give you other things like ticks and fleas and parasites and so on. But these examples are pretty rare. Unless you're susceptible to infection or have a weakened immune system, the risk of actually getting sick from sleeping with a pet is actually pretty low. Ticks and fleas are the most common bugs that people get. And, of course, they can get those without having a pet in the bed with you. Ticks transmit Lyme disease and other serious illnesses, as we all know. But you know what? If you routinely deworm your animal, then you're not going to have problems with things like roundworm and so on. The only problem might be if you sleep, if you quiet when you're sleeping, because your sleep could suffer. But, you know, that can happen if you have a spouse.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that's the strike against the pet.
Flopsy sleeps like a rock. He just curls up next to my back and just kind of gloms onto me and doesn't move all night.
Yeah, so. Well,
but, it's very comforting. It's very sweet.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, let's see. NASA has discovered a peanut-shaped asteroid.
Yum.
They had a flyby of one of their little probes there, the Lucy spacecraft. Swoop by and
Lucy?
Lucy, it's called.
Do 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 do.
No, don't do that. We're going to get in trouble for that. So they've discovered this peanut-shaped asteroid, and then, as I mentioned earlier, they've discovered a pink cloud that has pink planet that has clouds made out of salt. So
wow.
We could have salted peanuts.
There you go.
Put them together. But, no. I love that they're discovering all these weird things with these exoplanets. They're just the oddest things. I mean,
it's like you could make it up.
They rain diamonds.
Yeah. Like, stretch your mind. Oh, I love the image. So Mel is looking at his monitor right now, and it's like magenta. Actually, I think pink doesn't do it justice.
No, it is more magenta.
Yeah, magenta with
according
pink.
To this picture,
pink areas.
You never know what the actual colors are like.
Well, do you remember? That we're comic book nerds, you remember the funniest character in the Legion of Superheroes, right?
Bouncing Boy?
Matter Eater Lad.
Oh, Matter Eater Lad.
Yes, Matter Eater Lad was from the distant planet Bismol. And that's what that looks like. We've discovered Bismol.
That's why they have all the salt.
Goes around that. It has a twin planet, Pepto. I always thought that was the funniest joke. The Matter Lad was from Bismol.
Oh, that's a great joke. Yeah. So. the planet's between 2.5 and 4 billion years old. It's a huge planet. It's 25 times the mass of Jupiter.
Wow, that's great.
So that's a lot of...
That's a lot of planet.
A lot of planet there.
A lot of planet to love.
Trying to figure out, see where how far away it is, but it's not telling me. But it's a few hundred miles away at least, so...
Well, I got to tell you, this is going to be the downer part of the show.
Oh.
This is a study that was just done by the partially sponsored by the U.S. government, and it was published in the Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs. And the latest info on alcohol consumption is health problems start almost right away. If you drink more than a single drink a day, there's going to be an increased risk of premature death from illness or injury attributed to alcohol. And this was something that is consistent with two reports that were commissioned back during the Biden administration. So this is transcending partisan interpretation. One drink a day, that might be okay. And remember what we're defining as a drink is not a Wisconsin-style drink. We are defining it as 12 fluid ounces of regular beer, 5 ounces of wine, or 1.5 ounces of distilled spirits. So that is a standard drink. Anything beyond that daily is problematic. Your risk to your health and your safety increases tremendously after that. So the nice thing is, trying to look on the bright side, 12 fluid ounces of regular beer one a day, that's not too bad. You can get by with that, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but they said that this is, of course, the liquor industry is not terribly happy with this, but it's weird. More people are, especially younger people, are not making alcohol part of their lives anyway.
Right, that's a really big deal.
Yeah.
So, Do you see that the Scottish fans that came over for the, yes. the World Cup? They drank Boston dry.
Yeah, I
Boston.
Know. yeah.
There's some hilarious stories yeah, about yeah. Places that, like, would, one place said they sold three times as much as they did on one night as they do on St. Patrick's Day.
Right, yeah.
One place said their refrigerator broke from the door from being open and closed. So
it's not Scottish; it's crap. You know, I got it. One of the things I read in the story I read about the Scottish invasion was. They're not just there to cheer on Scotland, which is appropriate, but they're there to cheer on any team that's actually going up against England.
Yeah,
and I thought, oh, good.
Who's your favorite team? Anybody playing England?
Exactly. So they've got lots to pick from there.
Oh, that's funny. So, all right, I promised you this earlier. Neuroscientists discover previously unknown cognitive benefits of reading physical books.
So where is that from? Because I would love to look into that more.
It's a new study published in the journal. It's PLOS One. Provides evidence that reading comic books on physical paper helps the brain absorb and connect story details more easily than reading on a digital tablet.
Yep.
The findings suggest that physical books provide stable, spatial, and tactile clues that lower the brain's workload when a reader tries to recall complex plot points later.
Yep.
This research offers fresh insight into how digital reading formats might subtly alter human comprehension and memory. And we're getting an ad pushed at me for PDFs. And this one doesn't say it, but I've gotten PDF ads that say never print anything again.
Yeah.
There's a difference. There's a cognitive difference in reading something screen or on paper. I think it is for anybody.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I know most of the reading takes place on screens now, but.
Yeah. I have a hard time reading on screen, and I always have from the very outset. And even though the screens have gotten better over time, it still tires my eyes out tremendously when I watch things on screens. Well, you know, one of the things they tell you in trying to get to sleep, of course, is to resist checking your phone when you wake up. Do you do that when you wake up? Do you look at your phone?
Like in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I have a bad. I don't look at my phone, but I do have a bad habit of opening up my laptop just to see if the world's done yet or not. You know, just kind of, you know, because.
I just check the obits real quick.
Yeah, you check the obits, see if you're there.
No, there's one I'm looking for. But
oh, okay. Yeah. We won't mind saying anymore. One thing to keep in mind is that people have differential reactions to caffeine. Some people can keep caffeine in their bloodstream for a few hours, but others, you know, it can stay in there for forever. You might want to just test yourself. You might just want to, like, do an experiment. You know, like, stay off of coffee for maybe, like, 2 weeks
what?
Or something. I know. Or whatever.
Burn him.
Yeah, whatever your caffeine delivery system is. I don't know. But also, before you, just like that elephant you were referring to earlier, you might want to cut back on your fluids close to bedtime. Yes, if your pet elephant is in bed with you, that could be a problem.
Yeah, you get ticks from them.
And this is especially important if you are, of course, drinking alcohol, which can disrupt your sleep and cause sleep apnea. And this interestingly enough, they say suggest not. This thing I'm looking at now, where did this come from? This is from a University of Michigan Medical School study. They say that maybe it's not a good idea to sleep with your pet. They said that, again, pets can be comforting, but it can disrupt your sleep. And again, everything that they say about a pet is exactly the same thing as you would say about a human. So here's what the lead neurologist that was involved in the study, a person by the name of Pablo Castillo, said. If your pets move around a lot, they wake you up prematurely and wake you up prematurely or snore, they could be messing with your rest. But I'm like, that's your freaking spouse, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was gonna say replace one word in that sentence.
Yeah, I know.
Conservatives view addictive products more favorably than liberals, according to a study.
Well, they got the number one addictive product in the country, apparently. So,
It's new research in the Journal of Marketing. It provides evidence that a person's political ideology shapes their responses to addictive products.
Yeah.
The findings suggest that political conservatism is associated with more favorable attitudes and behaviors toward items like alcohol, tobacco, and gambling due to a heightened perception of personal control.
Yeah, compulsory masturbation, too.
I
need someone to keep pushing the pleasure button. It doesn't surprise me, actually, that that would be the result.
Yeah.
Because if you think about the what in my years of talking with people about politics and political, you know, views and society and so on, what I often hear from people who are very conservative is the feeling that they shouldn't have to put themselves out for other people.
Yeah.
Like, what is my duty? Those people, they need to just do it themselves or get, you know, take the idea that everything is a burden. Everything is too much of a burden.
Yeah.
That seems consistent with this idea of kind of self-pleasuring as a way of going through life.
So we've got an entire political movement that has kind of taken over the whole country, or at least like the levers of power.
Sure.
Based on the fact that when they call customer service, they have to hit 1 to get English.
Yeah, that's too much.
Why is there a Spanish option?
Yeah, I know.
Why don't they learn English?
Yeah, I know. Everything's too hard. Oh, dear.
Oh.
Hey, a team of scientists here in Wisconsin was looking into the origins of myriapods. Those are myriapods. That's the group name for the 13,000 species of centipedes, millipedes, and other type things that that exist here on this lovely earth of ours. By the way, myria just means countless in Greek. Yeah. So figuring out how they came to get on dry land has been pretty difficult. But they unearthed a bunch of these myriapod fossils, I guess, here in Wisconsin, in Waukesha. It turns out that ancient Waukesha was a big shallow bay with very salty and devoid of oxygen, a little bit like how it is today. And so the carcasses from the surrounding sea, because there was an inland sea at that point in what is now North America, and washed in, and these microbial mats got kind of stuck in the sticky film that formed. So they were able to find a lot of it's from the Silurian period, and these paleontologists were looking into these Waukesha fossils, and so they found these very, very early multi-legged creatures. The ancient arthropods' bodies were composed of 11 segments. And they had a backside that ended in a pair of like little blade, kind of like blades on their hind ends, and but they were covered with pairs of appendages, including a small set in the front that helped them sense and feed. It's a really basic floor plan. It's just basically, you know, it's the same thing just replicated
like
many times.
Like a tube with variations.
Yeah, tube with little things propelling it along the way. But the only difference really between there were ocean versions of this. And the only difference as they can tell between the ocean ones and the ones that finally moved out onto land was that they didn't have any gill structures. So they basically sort of fine-tuned their footwear first before they went out, you know, onto the ground is what they've been able to tell from this. So, that's amazing. I just love the idea of ancient Waukesha being the home of myriads of myriapods. It seems somehow appropriate.
As opposed to what it is now.
Still living in the Silurian era, as far as I can tell.
All right. There's a Kentucky story for
you. Oh, yay!
I've got all kinds of stories for you this week. But this story seems to pop up every few years. But, you know, they've got that Noah's Ark experience.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a replica. Yes, of
Florence. Ark. Florence, Kentucky.
Yeah. This is Williamstown. But But anyway. Kentucky Noah's Ark sued their insurance company over damage caused by heavy rain.
Just like Noah did.
The insurance company rejected the claim because there wasn't enough pitch on top.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what it is.
And it wasn't the proper number of cubits.
Yeah. So. Well, there's your problem. Cubit deficit.
This is an old thing. It says This goes back to 2017 and 2018, and the heavy rain caused a landslide on its access road. The lawsuit says the road has been rebuilt, and the arc was not damaged, but the insurance carrier refused to cover the damage. So.
Wow. I've never been to that, but you can go online and see it. Yeah. So, yeah.
My kid was like driving, more or less driving past it not too long ago when she was on a little vacation. And they were going to go, and then they looked at the prices, and it was just ridiculous.
I thought it was near Florence. Maybe I'm thinking of the Creation Science Museum. That's probably what I'm thinking of. Yeah, that's another.
You get all these education.
Well, Florence was they used to have a big mall there, almost like the mall in Minneapolis, called the Florence Mall, and then of course it closed down. So they modified their water tower. You say Florence Mall in giant letters, and now it says Florence Y'all. that was clever.
Pretty good.
Like Ohio,
exactly. Hey, Jaguar.
Heard of y'all?
Yeah, heard y'all. Yeah.
Not anymore, but. I'm just to clarify.
I sleep with my pets.
That's the Jaguar. You are a pet. You're a Jaguar.
Hopefully, you don't mean that in the euphemistic sense.
the biblical sense.
Were you?
All right, we got to get out of here. Time to declare. The weekend. Enjoy your weekend.
There's so much to do.
Happy Juneteenth to everybody, and
happy Pride.
Pride. Vote for the WRT folks on the Best of Madison.
We command you.
Yeah, that's right. So, and it is 2:00. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison. Pants, it was great to see you.
You too, buddy.
Thanks for coming in, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a great week, everybody. We will talk at you next Friday. Stick around. The kiosk is next, and then. Whoever that guy was prowling around here. Who was that?
Jaguar.
Jaguar?
Yep.
Jaguar. It's safe to do you better. Get up off of that thing. Try to release that pressure. Get up off. Good God. So good. Everybody ready? This is Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, June 19th.
This is Bird Note. For most albatross species, raising a chick is a real challenge. Waved albatrosses produce such slow-growing, needy offspring that females lay only a single egg every 2 years, and both parents need to share the load until youngsters can hunt on their own. Albatrosses tend to pair for life, and it can take a while to find the right partner. So some species don't start breeding until they're 10 years old, with some individuals even waiting till they're 20. Reunited pairs go through an elaborate synchronized ritual of braying, wing spreading, and bill tapping to reaffirm their bonds before getting down to the business of breeding. In Hawaii, biologists were puzzled to find that some Laysan albatross pairs had not